This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning. No matter how long, how short, Father, please speak to us. Open our eyes of understanding to see the realities of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. So we are continuing in our study of the four Gospels. We've been reading, and today, hopefully, you have read the two chapters for today. At the end of today, you should have read six chapters. Today's chapters are pretty long. You know, but you endure long in the name of Jesus. I think Matthew 5 is 48 chapters and verses. And the sixth chapter is 34, you know. And believe me, both of them, I read them in about 10 minutes this morning. You can do it. Our text for this morning is taken from 1 Samuel. Chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 1, and as you have guessed, to the end. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 1, and I read, "And the Philistines took the ark of God." You can underline that. "Took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon." Abomination. If that Bible you are holding is your own, you can write that in front. Abomination. "They put the ark of God and they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again." They thought it was a mistake. Maybe the wind blew and he fell over. They did not understand what was going on. Verse 4, the Bible says, "And when they arose early on the morrow morning, again, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord." Every enemy that is harassing your life, they will fall on their faces before your God today. In the name of Jesus. A second time, the Bible says, Dagon fell on his face again. But this time, it was not just falling. The Bible says, "And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him." It was decapitated. Every enemy that refused to repent will be decapitated. In the name of Jesus. Verse 5, he said, "Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day." Verse 6, "But the hand of the Lord was heavy." I want you to circle that word heavy. We will come back to it. "But the hand of God was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with hemorrhoids, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, 'The ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us.'" They said, no, take this thing away from us. "For his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, 'What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?' And they answered, 'Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath.' And they carried the ark of God, of the God of Israel, about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emeralds in their secret parts. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, and saying, They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. They rejected the ark. They said, we don't want it. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and they sent and said, send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. You can circle that word heavy that we see there. It's the same word heavy that we saw in verse 6. Verse 12 and the last verse. It says, and the men that died not were smitten with emeralds, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Brother Moses, Brother Fumi, can you please help me put this on the floor? I'm pretty sure everybody can see me good on the floor there as well. This chapter that we have read, it opens up with an interesting statement. Thank you very much, sir. It says, and the Philistines took the ark of God. For you to understand that, you have to go back to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, there was war between Israel and the Philistines. And as the war, they engaged in battle, and the battle was ongoing, before they could say Jack Robinson, 4,000 men were dead among the Israelites. And then all of a sudden, the Israelites realized that, wow, we came to war without the ark of God. So they said, go get the ark quickly. Go get the ark quickly. And may I say to you that the distance from where the ark was and where the battle was about 42 miles. That is like from here to, say, San Marcos. Amen. So the men went quickly. They ran. They got the ark and they brought the ark. And as they brought the ark into battlefield, the Bible says that there was great shout. Verse 7. Let's read verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Let's walk quickly. Please walk quickly with me. Thank you very much. Oh, verse 5. Thank you. You're even better than me now. Hallelujah. No, you're good. Verse 5. Verse 5. You were good. I was wrong. He said, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. They were excited when the ark of God came into their midst. And in verse 7, jump to verse 7 now. The Bible says, and the Philistines were afraid. Once they heard the shout and they realized that the ark of God had come into the midst of the children of God, this was the response or the reaction of their enemy to the ark. The Bible says, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. What that is saying is the enemy understood the meaning of the ark of God. My question to you this morning is, do you know what the ark of God is? The ark of God, as you can see in this text, the Bible says the people, the Philistines, when they heard that the ark had arrived in battle, they said, God as a ride. The ark of God represented the presence of God amongst the people. It represented the presence of God. And you know the story in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and the Philistines took the ark of God away. When the ark was taken away, and the news came to Eli, Eli was the prophet. Eli was like the representative of God to the nation of Israel. When they told Eli that the ark of God had been taken away, the Bible says the man fell backwards, broke his neck, and he died. Before they brought the ark, 4,000 men dead. After they brought the ark, 30,000 more died. And not only that, it didn't stop there. The prophet, the representative of God before the nation, fell backwards, broke his neck, and died. And not only that, his two sons died in battle. And it didn't stop there. One of the sons, the wife was pregnant. The moment she heard that the ark had been taken away, immediately she went into labor. You can read all of this in chapter 4. Immediately she went into labor. Labor pains began to grip her, and she gave birth to a son. And as she herself was dying, she too died. As she was dying, she said, the name of this boy will be Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod. And what is Ichabod? Ichabod is no glory. Glory has left. So the ark of God is the presence of God, and the ark of God also signified the glory of God. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Say it like you mean. Say glory.
Glory.
The ark of God represented the glory of God. And the reason the ark came about is very simple. When you read in Exodus. When you read in Exodus chapter 19, the Bible says God came down upon Mount Sinai in his glory. Let's read that. Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 to 18. Exodus 19, 16 to 18. Please pull it up quickly. Thank you very much. It says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp, they trembled. Verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. 18. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because God descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. When God came down upon Mount Sinai, it was not a pretty sight. It was a frightening sight. Please show that slide, the slide that I sent to you, the PowerPoint slide. I looked for something to kind of depict what this could have looked like. And this was all I could come up with. But this in itself, the slide itself does not really even depict the trueness of this thing. The Bible says when the presence of God, when the glory of God came upon Mount Sinai, it began to thunder. It began to thunder. Brrr. As it was thundering, there was fire. As there was fire, there was lightning. Just imagine this. And there was a thick cloud. Imagine a thick, dense cloud. And then there's lightning. At night when it's raining and it's thundering and there's lightning, many people can't sleep. They're hiding under the bed. They are looking for cover. Amen? Imagine that with fire. Imagine that with smoke. Not cloud. Smoke. And then with cloud. Everything dark. And there's fire and it's blazing. The people were afraid. They were afraid. And in Exodus chapter 20, they said to Moses, Moses, we thank God for his glory. We appreciate the glory of God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10. Exodus 20 and verse 10, quickly. Exodus 20 and 10, the people said, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do blah, 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 blah. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. Exodus 20, 19. Maybe if I wore the glasses, I'll see better. Exodus 20, 19. He said, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let God not speak to us. Don't let him. We don't want. You are his friend. You go talk to him. Whatever he tells you, you come back and tell us. We are okay with that. Friend, if you were present at the bottom of the mountain, when all of this, a mountain is catching fire in your very eyes, the cloud, the thundering and everything, you too, you will say, ah, pastor, you are the pastor. At least, you are the pastor. You go talk to God. Anything he says, Osas, right? Anything God says, you come back and tell us, we will be okay with it. That is what happened here. The people were afraid, but God did not want his people to be afraid of him. He wanted to commune with them. He wanted to fellowship with them. He wanted his presence to be with them everywhere they went. And that's how the Ark of the Covenant came about. You know, so the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence and the glory of God in their lives. And then every time they went to battle, they took the Ark of the Covenant. They are guaranteed victory. But this one time, they went to battle. The Ark was present. And they lost very badly. At the end of the day, 34,000 men dead. The prophet dead. The high priest dead. His survivor, his replacement. The people that will have succeeded him, his successors, dead. It was a dark day in Israel. And the question you cannot help but ask yourself is why? Why did such a tragedy befall the people of God? Why did such a terrible thing happen in the presence of the Ark of God? In the presence, in the midst of the glory of God, in plain sight, they lost, and they lost woefully. There are many Christians today that are struggling. There are many believers today that are struggling. And people may be asking you, why did you not say you belong to God? Did you not say you are a child of God? Why is all of these things happening to you? So I don't want you to look at this text and say that is Old Testament. How does that relate to you? I just told you. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 27. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Okay, too late now. We got it. Colossians 1, 27. Quickly. Colossians 1, 27. The Bible says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. He said, which the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody say, Christ in me, is my hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the glory that we are talking about is no longer a box that everybody needed to be around. The glory that we are talking about is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ lives in me. I don't know about you, but he lives in me. I say he lives in me. He lives in me. And because he lives in me, I have the fullness of the glory of God. I have the fullness of the glory. I have the fullness of the glory. But listen, for the children of Israel, the glory availed nothing for them on this day. And I'll show you very quickly. Wow, it's amazing how time flies. What have I said? Okay, so the Bible says the glory could not help them on this day. And the question is why? The question is why? The glory could not work for them because when you read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we don't have time to make reference to it or to go read it, but when you get home, read it. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible talks about Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were the sons of Eli. And because Eli was old, Eli was already in his 90s. He could not do his duties anymore. He put his sons in charge. But these sons were worthless men. Somebody say worthless men. They were worthless men. In fact, things got so bad. Not only did they steal from the sacrifice of the people, the offering that people brought to the temple, they stole from it. Not only that, they took advantage of vulnerable women. The Bible says they lay with the women at the door of the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Worthless men. Worthless men. And when it was time for battle, they were the ones that were custodian of the ark. So with the other Levites, they carried the ark and they went to battle. And my question is, were they not afraid? Were they not afraid? You will remember the story of Uzzah. Uzzah, as the ark was going, the thing was shaking. He decided to steady it, and God struck him dead. These filthy, verminous people were not afraid to touch the ark of the covenant. They bought the ark. Listen to me. Clearly, I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. There is no time for exegesis today, but write this down. Your penance cannot appease God. Your penance is spelled E-P-E-N-A-N-C-E. Your penance cannot appease God. Penance is walking to please God. You are living in sin, but you want to do work for God. You want to come to church and do all kinds of things and say, okay, let me give service to replace, to pay for my sin. The only thing that can wash away sin is the blood of Jesus. As somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Without the blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. Amen. Many people in the church today are not different from the sons of Eli. They are not different from Ophni and Phineas. They live a life of sin, and then they come to church to do penance. To do penance. Say, once I give service, everything will be all right. It will not be all right. It was not all right in this text. In fact, those guys, listen to this. Listen up. Listen up. Those guys, they bought the ark and they trekked 42 miles. Do the math. How long do you think it would take them to walk on foot? 42 miles. It was hard labor. They labored, they sacrificed for the Lord, but their labor was in vain. Your penance cannot appease God. Your labor, and you, the Bible says, shall we continue to live in sin and expect that grace will abound? It says, God forbid it. God forbid it. And because of the sins of this man, 34,000 people died. Friends, listen to me. Whatever I do, whatever you do, has greater consequence than you and than me. Amen? Everything you are doing is beyond you. Whether good is beyond you. If bad is beyond you. The seeds that you are sowing, that seed will bear fruit one day. If you don't eat it, somebody in your lineage will eat it. It's just as the way it goes. We went to visit with some family yesterday to pray for the baby that was sick. You know, and they had this show on TV. It was a movie, you know. And these guys, they had a very hard life. They had a very hard life. So they went to consult to find out, oh, why is our life so hard? They said, your father has eaten all of your glory before you were even born. If that was the seed their father sowed. Because of David, Solomon was spared. But because of Solomon, Rehoboam lost the kingdom. What you do goes beyond you. Look at your neighbor. Tell them that. Hallelujah. The ark of God represents the glory of God. And everywhere they went, they took the ark with them. There are a number of things that the ark or the glory of God will do in our lives. And I want to enumerate this very quickly. The glory of God in your life can translate to wealth. Somebody say wealth. It is important for you to know that when we say Christ in you, the hope of glory, that hope includes prosperity. The word that is commonly translated glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod. That is why that woman said, Ikabod. The glory has departed. The glory is the praise, the worth, the significance, the essence, the eminence, the majesty of God. That's the glory. So when they said Ikabod, it means the glory has left. It means the majesty has left. The honor has left. The significance has left. The worth has left. The weight has departed. Gone. The first time the word glory was mentioned in the Bible was Genesis 31 and verse 1. In fact, if you have the New King James Version, New King James Version uses the word wealth instead of glory. And it's the same word, kabod. Kabod. Friends, when you are filled with the glory of God, the money you are running after will begin to chase after you. Hallelujah. It will begin to chase after you. The Bible says God delights in the prosperity of his saints. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I have the glory of God. And God delights in my prosperity. God delights in my prosperity. The glory of God will give you prosperity. But don't mess with sin. Sin messes everything up. If the reason people sin is because sin is pleasurable. Don't tell me sin is not pleasurable. You know, in fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it said the pleasure of sin, which is but for a moment. A moment. Even the Bible agrees with you that sin, it has pleasure. But it destroys destiny. It destroys destiny. Your destiny will be preserved.
Amen.
Your destiny will not be destroyed.
Amen.
You will not walk against your own destiny.
Amen.
A man that is married and is having an illicit relationship with another woman is destroying his own destiny. A child of God that is unmarried, that is having sexual relations with another man or woman, is destroying their own future. You know, we don't have time. The glory. Number one thing is wealth. Prosperity is coming your way.
Amen.
Your amen is very underwhelming. Prosperity is coming my way. I love you. I love you. This is the greatest congregation ever. I pray for you, you don't say amen. I pray for me, you say amen. Prosperity is coming your way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Number two, very quickly. Number two, the glory brings about deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. In Daniel chapter 3, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he made a statue of himself and he said every man must bow to that statue. Amen? And there were these three bold Hebrew boys that said, no, we're not going to bow. He said, there is pressure in the society to do certain things, but I will not bow to that pressure. That's what happened there. I will not bow to the pressure. I will not bow to the pressure. That's what they were saying. And the king said, what? He said, call them for me. They brought them to him. And they said, oh, king, hear us very well. He said, save your breath. That's what they said to him. You know, this is Koye's version now. He said, oh, king, save your breath. You know, we're not going to change our mind. If you like, yell. If you like, jump. Whatever you like, you do. We're not going to change our mind. If you want to throw us in the furnace, do it quickly. Because we will not, don't try to convince us. The king said, okay, blow the trumpet again. Maybe they will change. They blew the trumpet. The boys were standing. And they said to him, they said, oh, king, you throw us in the furnace of fire, our God is able to deliver us. But just in case he decides we should burn, we are happy to burn for him. Hallelujah. Do I have any believer in the house today? Believers in Christ Jesus. They said, even though we know he's able to deliver us, if he chooses not to deliver, we will burn for him. We will die for him. We will not cave to the culture. We will not cave to the system. We will stand for Jesus. They threw them in the fire. Guess what? The glory. Somebody say the glory. Somebody say the glory. Remember, we said that Jesus is that glory. Jesus is that glory. The Bible says as they were in the fire, three of them bound. In fact, the men that threw them in the fire, they died. Listen, you know, I was thinking about this morning. Think about this. The men that were taking them into the furnace were consumed by fire. How did they enter? They walked in by themselves. they finished the journey. Because the men did not make it to the furnace. It says as they were taking them in, they were consumed by the fire. So they just continued the journey and just walked the rest of the way into the fire. Hallelujah. The Bible says the king began to look. He said, didn't we put three men in the furnace? Three men bound. He said, but I see four men loose, walking around in the fire. The glory came and dwelt with them. The glory of God will deliver you.
Amen.
Is there any trouble you are experiencing right now? Preserve the glory that is inside of you. The temptation in times like this is to cave to the system. The temptation is everybody comes to work and they know how to tweak the, what do you call it? The swipe clock, time clock. They know how to tweak that thing. So every day they are tweaking it. And you are joining them to tweak it for how much? Tell me, for how much? So you save 1 hour. 1 hour, $10, $20. For your eternal destiny. $10. $10. That is bugger. Burger money. Because of burger money, you will kid with your destiny. Amen. There are some restaurants for one person to sit down and eat is like $50. Amen. So because of one sitting at the restaurant table, you will kid with your eternal destiny. Don't mess with sin. Don't mess with sin. Because the glory of God is able to deliver you. And God will deliver you. I say Jehovah will deliver you. It will deliver you from all trouble. I say it will deliver you from all trouble. In the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 11:25. This is what the Lord said to the children of Israel. He said, I will put your fear and your dread upon all nations. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord upon your life will put your fear and your dread upon people. That job, that boss that you are afraid of, they are more afraid of you than you know. Oh, no, they are more afraid of you. When the glory of God is active in you, they will fear you, they will know why. Have you thought about it? That Moses went back to Pharaoh's palace. Remember the reason he left 40 years ago. He killed somebody and he was afraid for his life. So he took off running. 40 years later, he comes to the same palace and is making demands. He said, so the God of Israel said you should let these people go. He was afraid some time ago. Why? The glory. The glory is upon him now. Pharaoh looked at, if Pharaoh killed him, nothing would have happened. Oh, yeah, nothing would have happened. Amen? But the glory was upon him. When Pharaoh was looking at Moses, the fear of Moses was upon him. This is fear and dread was upon him. In the New Testament, the Bible says they thought to push Jesus over the cliff. They all gathered together. The moment he turned around, they all parted and he walked right through them. God will put your fear and dread upon your enemies. Your fear and your dread will come upon the people that are harassing you. In the name of Jesus. Brethren, how can I experience the glory of God? How can I experience the glory of God? When you get home, read Exodus chapter 19. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel. He said, go tell them, I want to visit them. I want to reveal my glory to them. But before I will reveal my glory to them, tell them to sanctify themselves 3 days. Tell them to sanctify themselves what? 3 days. And let them wash their clothes. What God was saying to them is, they were filthy. God cannot inhabit a filthy temple. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, what? What? How can you that you are saved join your body to a harlot? How can you use the instrument of God for fornication and for adultery? Amen? He said, do you not know that your temple, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, don't you know that? Don't you know that? God can never inhabit a filthy temple. God and sin don't mix. If the fullness of the glory will be made manifest in you, you must sanctify yourself. You must cleanse yourself inside and out. I'll read one last scripture and we will say a word of prayer. Listen to this. Number one is sanctify yourself. Number two thing you must do is you must learn to obey simple instructions. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. John 14. I'm going to read from the Amplified. I believe we have the Amplified in the back as well. John chapter 14. Amen. 21. Listen. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. Are you listening? Are you following? And I too will love him and will show, listen, Amplified. He said, and will show reveal, manifest myself to him. Whoever, the person that has my commands and keeps them, it says, I will show myself, reveal, and manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Is Jesus real to you? Is he real to you? 23. Let's jump to 23. 23. Just jump to 23 quickly. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, that is, obey my teaching. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. Listen now. We will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him. You want the glory of God. You must know his commands and keep his commands. 24. And then we'll pray. 24, quickly. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching. He's saying when you are disobedient to the command of God, you don't love him, you are not of him. Bow your heads this morning. The fullness of the glory of God is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. Number one, sanctify yourself. Are you born again? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Number two, if he's your Lord and Savior, is he really your Lord and Savior? Are you obeying his commands? Are you following his commands? I want you to pray this morning. Say, Lord, give me grace to follow you. The grace to do your will. His word is revealed to you. The question is, are you going to obey his word? You want the glory. You want riches. The Bible talks about the riches of his glory. There is richness in that glory. There is power in that glory. There's prosperity in that glory. There is deliverance in that glory. But are you ready? Are you willing to pay the price? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I commit this great congregation into your hands, O God. I have presented your word to them. Father, I pray, the God of all grace, Lord, you will give grace, the grace to grow in your word, the grace to grow in knowledge of your word, and the grace to do your will, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. To you alone be glory and honor forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Hallelujah.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.